My name is Karen Staworki. In the Clarity Podcast, we'll explore different ways of seeing. Seeing ourselves, seeing others, seeing the world, and life itself. We'll look at how we relate to ourselves and how we see ourselves in the world. We'll explore how these ways of seeing influence all of our relationships with other people, with time, even with nature. I'm excited to be with you on the journey. Welcome to Clarity. Welcome to this first episode of Clarity. My name is Karen Staworki, and I'm your host. It seems a fitting beginning to start with my intention for this podcast. Why am I doing it? Leonard Cohen perhaps expresses it best in Anthem. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. It's about doing something in service of a greater good. So this podcast is an aspect of my offering, my love letter to humanity. Through Clarity, I seek to raise our collective awareness of and attention to relational effectiveness. Relationships are the essence of being human. Relationships, some fleeting, some enduring, exist in every sphere of our life. We're biochemically wired to be relational creatures. And the relationship with ourself colors how we relate to everyone and everything else. Why did I name this podcast Clarity with a K and not a C? I didn't do it to be cheeky. I wanted to challenge what we think is a given because things aren't always what they seem, especially as that relates to us. Everything is a story from the moment we enter this world until the moment we pass from it. Our beliefs, assumptions, predictions, and past experiences create the story that colors our lens, how we see ourselves, each other, and everything else from situations to the world around us. In this episode, we'll take a first step in exploring our relationship with ourself through how we see ourselves and learn why a mirror matters. I'll start with a story. I was traveling last fall in the mountains, and one afternoon getting coffee, I walked by a small shop. Something in the window caught my eye, so I went in. I ended up chatting with the store employee who asked me why I was in the area, which led to me talking about my work. Our exchange took a reflective turn. We talked about the atmosphere of the country and the globe and how the events and attitudes are in part symptoms of our disconnection from each other. Even more, we're disconnected from ourselves. Where she and I arrived at in our conversation was this: you can't truly show full compassion for others if you don't show it to yourself first. Leaving that shop, that conversation stuck in my head. Compassion is a quality that's part of our birthright as humans. It's a capacity that is within all of us. We all have the ability to access it. But we can't access it fully if we don't see ourselves and witness all we are. What do I mean by that? Well, to what degree have you fully looked at yourself in the proverbial mirror, holding your inner gaze long enough to see all parts of you, all the parts that make up the personality or persona that is uniquely you? If you're like most humans, you have parts that you don't acknowledge for yourself that others see in you. Typically positive qualities that you may be quick to dismiss or diminish. A common propensity is to look at all the things you're not, as in lacking or not good enough, instead of all the things you are. You may also have parts that you're not fully aware of, or parts that show up in ways that you don't like, are annoyed by, or embarrassed about. You may be resigned about some of these parts of you. It's just who I am, you think. I am who I am. I'm never going to change. Not true. Not a given. The more you appreciate who you are, the more you understand how and why you are, the more you can evolve who you are. Here's an example to make this more concrete. A client talked to me about how at times he thought he was such a pleaser. He was really frustrated by this, and how that impulse seemed to take over in some of his most important relationships, whether it was with someone at work, a friend, or a significant other. Sometimes it just drives me nuts. I feel compelled to figure out what people want from me and then figure out how to give it to them. But then I don't end up standing up for what I want, for asking what I need. I feel like a pushover. And when I look at it now, I feel like I was really weak in some of those situations. I hate that, he said with a bit of a disgusted sneer. Can you hear what I hear? I hear possibly three distinct parts or voices. A part of him that's driven to please others and make them happy. A part that's a critic who's judging the pleaser part's behavior. And possibly a third angry part that's teaming up with the critic to berate the pleaser. What helps me hear them, these different parts? Because I have aspects of those parts in me, too. How did I first clue into parts and begin the journey of seeing myself with a clearer set of eyes? The fog began to lift from the mirror over a decade ago. I just finished facilitating an executive team offsite and was debriefing with a colleague. I asked them for feedback for me. It went great, they said. We made a lot of progress in the dialogue and arrived at some really important insights to make some key decisions. They paused. But I don't know what happens to you. Sometimes when you're in the front of the room, it's like someone else takes you over. You sound super smart, and I feel like it's important to listen to you. You definitely command attention. But you get all serious and formal. You've got this amazing laugh, and you're such a warm, relatable person. It's like that all gets wiped away. That person gave me a huge gift with that observation. It's actually something I had this sense of about 10 years before that. Way back then, I remember being frustrated that another colleague who was speaking with me, he had the audience wrapped around his finger within a few minutes. Everyone was highly engaged and laughing, and the room felt like it was alive. Why wasn't that happening for me, too? I knew that content inside and out. Getting angry at myself didn't help much. What was I doing wrong? I couldn't figure it out. So I kept doing what I did, or a part of me did. I spent a significant amount of time preparing PowerPoint slides and materials, writing, editing, and re-editing scripts, memorizing, rehearsing, making cue cards with key phrases. It was a lot of effort to make sure I taught or communicated things exactly right so that people got it. Exactly right. Those two words are important. Fast forward, back to around that time the colleague shared the feedback observation. I'd been exposed to a model of the human mind that introduced this concept of parts of our personality. It occurred to me in that moment that one part of me was my thinker or intellectual part, what I call my inner professor. It's a part that's got a lot of knowledge and takes an extraordinary amount of effort and care to make sure the knowledge is conveyed correctly and completely so that others learn, grow, and benefit. My professor part takes their job very seriously. Remember that phrase, exactly right? That's the motto. Nothing less than exactly right. The bar was set very high for performance. I ended up creating a lot of pressure for myself. And the more pressure I put on myself, the more constricted, formal, and intense I got. There was no space for my natural warmth, fluidity, and joy. As I better understood that part of me, its history and its goals, I found myself having compassion for the professor. The more aware I was, the more compassion I showed to myself, the more that part of me relaxed and eased up and didn't take over. Now there's just a lot more ease when I'm teaching or speaking. And yes, improvising often even happens. Things just flow. I now benefit from the best of that part of me. The professor part within me embodies knowledge, the ability to communicate and explain, an ability to connect dots between disparate kinds of information and see patterns, an insatiable desire to learn, and a natural curiosity. That's all treasure of that part of me. This podcast itself is evidence of the ongoing, deepening relationship between me and that part of me. So here's the idea. We humans are multifaceted, like a diamond. And each facet of us, or part of us, has a unique gift to offer. parts can also have a protective drive. What do I mean by that? A part may use a particular behavior pattern in order to help us stay safe, be accepted, or be respected and valued. This repetitive behavior pattern is not dumb. It's an intelligent response to a novel situation that happened sometime in our past where that behavior was the best possible thing we could do at the time with all we knew and could cope with. Let's think back to my client. The pleaser part of him tried out a behavior early in his life that worked. Seeking to please people helped him safely navigate situations and he believed kept family and friends close. So that behavior became a pattern. It's kind of like a part of us figures out that a hammer can be a really handy tool and everything that comes in front of us looks like a nail, except it's not. Now that my client has more knowledge, perspective, tools, and inner resources, he's identified that that blind, pleasing impulse is no longer a behavior that serves him in every instance. His recognition of a pattern of pleasing others became a trailhead, a window revealing a part of him to get to know. The more he develops awareness about this part of himself, how it acts, where it stems from, the more he's able to consciously choose in the moment what to do or not do, say or not say. His ability to be more discerning in his response is helped by his understanding of what activates that pleaser part. It may be types of situations or a type of person. The more he understands the activators, the more ability he has to sense those situations unfolding and anticipate the pleasing impulse kicking in. He can then choose whether or not that serves him in the moment. And what he's experienced as a result is a growing compassion that he shows himself. He now has clarity on the important role that the pleaser part played in his life and how it did the best it could with all it knew and could understand at the moment. Rather than shame or get angry with that part of him, he now holds it with tenderness. As a result, he finds himself being able to hold boundaries more effectively in relationships and work and life and ask for what he needs too. I think about parts as treasure that you discover in your inner terrain. Why treasure? Because identifying different parts of you and their go-to actions and reactions takes you from unconscious story and default response to conscious choice. Why does that matter? Operating in a parts-driven autopilot mode of thinking and doing may no longer serve you in a particular moment. Parts and their patterns, which do have a positive underlying motivation at the core, may end up limiting you or holding you back from what you really want, including the quality of your relationships and how others experience you. What are the tells that you might be operating from a part that's stuck in a pattern? Parts of us often have signature gestures, language, tone of voice, sensations, and behaviors, kind of like those things they do. Often, a big decision or challenge can reveal the presence of parts to us. Other humans can be illuminators for us too. If you find yourself ignoring or turning away from someone or being irritated by them, you're likely avoiding what this person represents that exists within you as a part too. Consider this episode as a very initial introduction to your own inner operating system in your mind. We'll revisit it in future episodes and explore more. I now extend to you an invitation, and I'll do this at the close of each episode. The invitation is to explore applying this to yourself. I'll offer a few questions for you to reflect on. I'd suggest having a pen and paper handy or re-listen to this when you do. Today's exploration focuses on starting to broaden how you see yourself, to notice and distinguish parts of you. Before we dig in, we need to tend the ground. What do I mean by that? Well, it's about cultivating a supportive mindset or mental frame. The exploration will be most insightful if you're able to approach it from a place of curiosity versus judgment. Imagine a small child who's seen something for the first time. Their eyes are wide like saucers. They ask lots of questions, and they usually try to touch every aspect of it. That's the place we want to operate from. Remember what that felt like? Okay, now the exploration. We're going to explore two different paths. Path one. Start by thinking about a situation you were in with another person sometime in the recent past. It's someone who ticks you off, who you're annoyed by, or someone who angers or frustrates you. Can you visualize that person? Can you see their facial expressions and gestures, how they hold their body? Can you hear what words they're saying to you? Let's zoom in. Is there a particular behavior or action that really seems to dig at you? Is there a word or words that have a particular charge? It may be how they were saying it versus what they were saying. Okay, now hold the mirror to yourself. Can you think of one instance where you demonstrated that behavior, said those kind of words, or used that tone? There's no judgment here. We're just curious, exploring. What's the first situation or interaction that pops to mind? Write down the situation and the behavior, words, and or tone that you remember using. This is a trailhead, a window that you just open to meet a part of you. Now consider, what activated that part of you? Was it something about the person or what they said or did? Was it something about the situation? Write down whatever comes forward first. Think about how you were coming into the situation or interaction. Were you tired, stressed, running late, juggling a lot of balls? Write down what you can recall. These are clues or conditions for when that part of you is more likely to be activated. What you're doing here in these simple questions is beginning to illuminate a pattern. Second, let's experiment with a different path. Think about someone whom you respect and admire. It could be someone who's well known to you, someone from afar, or someone who might even be a fictional character. Take a moment to bring that person into your consciousness, like they're projected on a movie screen in your mind. Can you see that person? Can you hear them? Good. Now, when you have them in your awareness, what's one particular quality that you admire or respect about them? One thing that distinguishes them in your mind? Write that down. Look what you've just written down. How does that quality live in you? What's one example that comes to mind when you've demonstrated or exhibited that quality to someone or something else? It may be recently or some time ago. Write that instance down. This reveals another facet or part of who you are. As you've demonstrated it, that capacity is within you too. It doesn't go away. So that's another part of you. In what situations or with what kinds of people is that part most likely to come forward? When is it harder to access it? What do you need to give yourself to be able to access more of that part of you in situations, like more sleep, regular exercise, taking a pause, or getting some time by yourself? Start to play with what you've just uncovered. In the next week or so, notice when either of these two parts show up. The goal is simply noticing. In doing so, you're building your awareness muscle. The relationship with ourself is not something we're going to solve in one episode. It's a journey. We are dynamic beings. And as we move through life, in each interaction and each experience, we act, react, form, and reinforce stories, which influence changes within us in often subtle ways. The more fully we can see and hold all the parts that make up who we are, the more the misty fog clears from the mirror. And the more fully we can see ourselves, the more fully we can see others. And with that clear-sightedness, we increasingly see ourselves in others and see others in us. That's where the compassion kicks in. I see parts of you in me, and I see parts of me in you. And with that, we unlock greater effectiveness in relationships and deeper, more powerful connections with each other. That's it for today's episode of Clarity. Thanks for tuning in and exploring with me. See you next time. Thank you for listening to Clarity. Clarity is produced by myself, Karen Staworky, and John Nolan. It was recorded and engineered by John Nolan at Honeybee Hill Studios. Interested in learning more? Check out my website, sparkpartnersllc.com, to read more of my writing and sign up for my newsletter with information about future webinars and speaking engagements. Thank you for following your curiosity. I hope you continue exploring, learning, and expanding how you see yourself in the world.